Thank you. This is part of my talk. And let me start with the conclusions first, because I think many of people are interested in how many neutron star, binaries and black hole binaries will be formed in global clusters. So this is the question I'd like to ask, and this is the answer. So for 1 million years, we expect order of neutron star neutron star binaries that will go into merger within Hubble time, and this is for the black hole And for comparison, this is the probability distribution of neutron star binary mergers in the galactic disk, which has a peak around 100 in these units. So the number of binaries, number of neutron star binaries from the from the global clusters may be smaller by a few couple of orders of magnitude compared to the disk population. But considering the fact that this has a very large variation, I mean, this is a peak, but you don't know whether this will be in a smaller range or larger value in practice. So it may or may not be interesting. Also, there is a poster that shows a slightly smaller rate than this one outside. In that case, I think the number we can take is order of 1 to 10% of the disk population. However, on the black hole case, this is the number quoted by Abadi et al. 2010. I think my estimate is much larger than this. So globular clusters could be a source of the large population of black hole binaries. So let's go. Let's talk about the estimates and the uncertainties associated with this this estimate. Let me first start with the pulsars in globular clusters. There are about 143 millisecond pulsars known in 27 globular clusters, and in 47 Tucani alone, there are 23. This is a fairly large number. And note that the global clusters are very old systems, and the pulsars in global clusters should be recycled pulsar. Therefore, there should be many more neutron stars which are not seen as pulsars. So this is the kind of minimum number in global clusters. Then there is a big question about the retention of the neutron stars in global clusters, because many pulsars are known to have large peculiar velocity. It's known as kick velocity, and with a typical average velocity of 400 kilometers per second. However, from the global cluster is very small, order of 20 to 30 kilometers per second, which means that the even a much smaller kick than this will remove the neutron stars from the globular clusters. However, since we see neutron stars in globular clusters today, the neutron star kick velocity, there are many attempts to explain this one, but one explanation is that there are two kinds of kick velocities in neutron stars when they are born. One is very large, the other is very small. So somehow the neutron star population in globular clusters may have formed that relatively small kick velocity. So from now on, I'm going to assume that all the neutron stars in the globular clusters are retained. Global clusters are everywhere in the in galaxies. Almost all galaxies with this brightness are known to have at least one global cluster. For example, M31, our closest neighbor, has almost 400 compared to about 200 in our galaxy. And some ellipticals have a fairly large number of globular clusters. Now, the people use this, define this specific frequency, which is a number of clusters per unit luminosity. And it's known that the elliptical galaxies have more globular clusters per luminosity than spirals. Another thing to note is that the globular clusters are very fragile systems. There are many mechanisms that leads to the evaporation, complete disruption of globular clusters, including galactic tidal field, tidal shock. And this is the diagram, so-called survival diagram, in the plane of the size of the globular clusters and mass of the globular clusters. And depending on the location of the globular clusters, these are the survival regions outside of which clusters would have disrupted within the last Hubble time. Although there are some clusters lying outside the survival regions, you can say that the many clusters are actually residing in the survival region. So that means that this mechanism for the disruption of cluster systems actually work. Now, this has an implication on the primordial population of global clusters, because there could be many clusters outside of these regions, and they may have disrupted. Of course, we cannot trace back the disrupted ones, but it's hard to imagine that you form clusters only inside these regions. So what you see today may be a small fraction of the clusters that have formed in early on. Now, one of the things you have to remember when you calculate the binary formation rate and so on is that the globular clusters is a dynamical system. So the central density, velocity dispersion, and these quantities change with time. And especially the radius very sensitive to the central density. And the central density changes a lot during the evolution. Of course, this is kind of exaggeration, because this is based on the Fokker Planck calculation. This is the evolution of central density as a function of time. And you start with small density, it goes to increases 9 orders of magnitude, then begins to expand, and then goes into what we call post-collapse evolution. So during this pre-collapse, the central density is relatively low, and post-collapse, it remains to be high, and at the end, they are completely destroyed. So if you want to actually calculate the rate of formation of binaries, you have to really follow this kind of evolution. There is another very important effect called dynamical friction, which leads to segregation of the components depending on the mass. So this segregation takes place in a relatively short time scale. This is the time scale for the evolution of a single component. But if you have two components with heavy and light, then the evolution time scale is reduced by this factor. Okay. And within this time scale, the central part is completely dominated by the massive component. So now there are several mechanisms or reasons to believe that there are binaries in global clusters. And the primordial, of course, there are binaries which have been formed as binaries. But there are other processes, dynamical processes, that lead to the formation of binaries. One of the important process is this one. This one really does not involve the actual size of the system of the star. So this even collisionless particles can lead to the formation of binaries. But you have to put three stars almost at the same place together. Basically my calculation is based on the simulation, including many effects of this. Now, the another thing, another very important message I'd like to provoke is the binaries. Binaries are eventually ejected. So the compact binaries you are interested in as gravitational wave sources should have been ejected from the clusters. Otherwise, the binaries remaining in the cluster have a relatively wide orbit. Now the tightness, I mean the binary orbit, depends on the escape velocity of the system, because the formula I have shown before, and this is the distribution of the escape velocity of global clusters, and the fraction of the binaries that go into the merger depends on the escape velocity in a, very sensitively. And for typical escape velocity, only some fractions, small fraction of binaries will go into merger within Hubble time. Now, considering all these effects, we carried out some many n-body simulations, and but the number of stars is very small, because we cannot accommodate the realistic number of stars in current computing with current computing power. Now, there are some limitations, small n, and we have to, because of the small n, we have to give a large fraction of neutron star and black holes, then real clusters, and no stellar evolution. But the purpose is not to make a realistic model, but to derive some general results. So my estimations are really does not depend on these restrictions. Okay, so I don't have enough time to explain all the details. But if I summarize the result, almost all black holes evaporate in fraction of core collapse time, and 80 to 90% of neutron stars escape from global cluster in few core collapse time. And 30% of these objects are in the form of binaries, which means that number of binaries is 15% of the original population. Another important result is black hole neutron star binaries are very rare. So most of the black holes are either binary binaries are either black hole or neutron star. So this is the typical example of the evolution. The red one is black hole, and blue is neutron star, and green is ordinary stars. So you see that in the early phase, black holes are evaporated, and then neutron star becomes evaporated, and at the end, you have only green things. So, okay, I have only 1 minute left. What I have done is to use the n-body result to derive the rate. First of all, the distribution of orbital separation depends only on the escape velocity, like this, and the eccentricity distribution is almost thermal distribution, and the merger time scale depends only on the central velocity. And in using these facts, I use the global cluster catalog to derive the numbers I mentioned in the beginning, and these are the numbers again. I'm showing this again. Now, there are some uncertainties, of course. First of all results depend on the number of neutron stars and black holes formed and retained in globular clusters, which means that the binary neutron stars may go down. Black hole may be okay because there is no retention problem. We used only 56 clusters because these have proper parameters, but there are 150 known clusters, and there may be more. So actual number should go up by proportional to this factor. However, only 20% of the clusters have short time scale. So many of the majority of the clusters would have very long time scale. So this kind of dynamical effect wouldn't occur. So that will go down. Now, if you put all them together, I think the correction is almost order of one. And this is very uncertain thing. There should be many clusters which have been disrupted. That gives you the rate up. Other properties we ejected, and they have long time to go into merger, so they have to be offset from the home cluster for up to 10 kiloparsec or something like that. And ellipticals have higher specific frequency and could be better places for this kind of population. Thank you.
In terms of the last point in the previous slide where you have the indication that there were probably many clusters which were already disrupted,
right.
If they produced binaries that merged many billions of years ago, we don't see them now.
Sure.
So in terms of the present day contribution to rates, is this going to be a significant effect or not?
Well, as I said, we don't know, we don't have any information about the primordial population. There may not be a very small number. So it depends on, all depends on how many clusters would have evaporated. But if there have been many evaporated, disrupted clusters, they have favorable condition for this kind of binaries.
So the binaries would emerge during
the year? No, it takes very long. So most of the binaries will go into merger maybe 10 billion years, 5 billion years, something like that.
So on the same slide, I was a little confused as to how you calculate your rates. So you said you used 56 clusters, and then I'm assuming you extrapolated from those to the general population using this, what you said earlier. So why would knowing that they're, you know, expanding that sample, it isn't clear to me that that would push it up because...
Okay, I didn't have enough time, but basically most of the, if you consider only evolved clusters, most of these compact stars would have evaporated. That's the one important thing. And the other is that among those, 15% would go into, 15% will be evaporated in the form of binaries. Now, in order to calculate the fraction of binaries that can go into merger within Hubble time, for example, you have to use the n-body results because you have to use the parameters for the orbit in order to calculate the merging time scale. So that's those kind of things are derived from the n-body simulations, and this depends on number of stars and the velocity dispersion. So I have to use number of stars and velocity dispersion of each cluster to calculate the contribution from each cluster.
So is there also an appreciable population of merging white dwarf neutron star binaries?
In this context, I didn't put any white dwarfs because white dwarfs are low mass things. And I think that there is very unlikely that neutron star and white dwarfs form binaries because neutron stars are quickly evaporated. And second of all, when they dominate the core, white dwarfs, the formation rate between white dwarf and neutron star will be very small. Exactly the same reason that there's no black hole neutron star binaries.
Okay, so let's thank Hyun again. Our next speaker is Ruslan Voling, Open Issues in Joint Analysis of Gravity Waves and Electromagnetic Data.